on the give up. Mo Williams closed the punt. Took a kick at the shot clock. Cavs in trouble. Backdoor cut by LeBron. Covered up. Barrichello has to fire a prayer. Got it! Anderson Barrichello! Can you believe it? Kyrie. A little touche on Curry's stop side. Irving goes inside. To Barrichello. Lays it up and in. We're tied! A steal. Here comes Douglas. Trying to get to the rim.
Blocked from behind by Barrichello. A Portuguese chase down.
Barrichello, LeBron pocket pass to Barrichello. That's how they roll.
Hey, Chris Manning here from Locked On Cavs. Coming up on today's show, Evan and I are going to talk about Kobe Altman. We're going to talk about why the front office stuff ultimately matters and why this stuff deserves our scrutiny. And we're going to talk a little bit about what it was like kind of just covering this very silly organization and team for this entire season. That's all coming up today on Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's episode is also brought to you by our friends at Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Evan, how's it going, buddy? Monday, May 17th. We're recording this 7:42 p.m. in case anything insane happens, but just how are you?
I'm pretty good. May the 4th be with you. I didn't get that punt off on May 4th, so I'm doing it now, but I'm not bad, all things considered. How are you?
Doing good. It's very nice weather.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful outside. Not great running weather for an out-of-shape guy like me, but going to be trimming and looking svelte by the time we meet face-to-face again, Chris. That's the goal. I just want to impress you. That's all I want to do.
I respect it. I've realized I have a slew of weddings that are coming up this summer, and
Same. I have one in the fall I got to look good for, and then... I don't know. I also got a bike race to train for. So, shouts to Danny Cunningham for asking me about that the other day. That was nice of him.
Yeah, you got to just know Danny golf. The only person who might like golf more than my father, Danny Cunningham. But Evan, we're going to talk, as I mentioned at the top, about Kobe Altman, and some reporting that's out there about him, and some of the other stuff. We're going to talk about why the front office stuff ultimately matters, and then we're going to talk about what it was like covering the team this year. We'll have a bunch of other episodes this week, obviously. But Evan, let's start with this report. Fedor of Cleveland.com, who will come up again later in the show, report that I don't know if this is necessarily quote unquote news, because I think this has been kind of out there in the periphery for a while, that like Kobe's kind of getting reviewed and like that he, you know, his resume is going to be scrutinized. And I do think there was some internal pressure to like win, right? Yeah. I don't think this is like a new like reactionary. Oh, no. I think to put it in context, this is not like a reaction to the end of the season, because the end of the season is a bad thing. It's just a general accumulation of how the last couple years have gone. Obviously Dan Gilbert and, you know, Grant, who's obviously very involved now, that's not a family that is particularly patient.
No, they're not necessarily patient when it comes to general managers, especially with Papa Dan. But let's put it this way. Kobe Altman's the first GM that ever signed an extension. But the only reason we're talking about it, the reason it raises a red flag, is out of most beat writers, if not any of the beat writers, Chris Fedor is the most pro-Cavaliers out of all of them. He doesn't really say anything that's like too out of the line or negligent or negative, I think I should say. Like, he's not going to drop a Jason Lloyd or a Joe Varden piece, which has a lot of truth, maybe a little couple punches that are unnecessary. But no, Fedor is kind of like the Dai Li, where there's no war in bossing say, like I always say. But we'll talk about that more later. But that's what raised this red flag. But like you said, it's not really surprising, because Dan Gilbert's not necessarily a patient man. He really wants to build a winner without LeBron in Cleveland. I think that's, other than hiring a college coach, his other white whale when it comes to owning the team. And you're not necessarily not going to be able to get rid of the owner or the owner's kid, who I think, Grant, is like 23, 24 and is holding the reins of a multi-billion dollar organization.
Unless the Gilberts decide to sell the franchise.
Yeah, Dan, the Gilberts aren't going anywhere.
This is the reality. Like, and we were talking about this with someone that Evan, no more free shout-outs. Can we agree on that?
Sure.
They got to pay us if they want shout-outs on this podcast. I like more cheddar in my pocket. Cash App is the same as my Twitter handle. Get at me. But we're talking about this, and it's like I think there's a lot of things you can look at the Cavs and say the Cavs are extremely goofy. And we've been saying that. I think that's like if there's a running theme of the show, it's that the Cavs are extremely goofy and do weird things and blah, blah, blah. But one of the things that is, I think, like, hard to sort of, like, always not just say over and over again is, like, I think if you look at, like, where the roots of the problem, it ultimately, I think, does go to the top. Like, you have to have accountability there at some point, right? Like, I think at some point you have to, like, ultimately just sort of marry, like, what you're seeing on the court and the organizational struggles to, like, the thing that has been consistent the last 20 years. Like, that is just the reality of the situation, I think.
Yeah, it really is the reality.
Like, there are other faults, but, like, that is the root of it, ultimately.
Yeah, and you're not really going to get rid of them unless Dan is forced to sell a team, because I think Dan has a contingency plan in place as well. Like, we've noticed with, like, Grant kind of taking over things, and maybe in time this is an experience builder and a resume builder for Grant, where he can become a better owner and eventually take the reins from his dad and his mom, who are majority shareholders in the Cavaliers. I know there's other minority owners as well, but those two are the Gilbert family are the biggest kahunas here. But yeah, like you said, it's just not surprising, because Dan Gilbert's not really a patient man. And there are some missteps on Kobe Altman's part. Like, the Kevin Love extension, I think, will really hang over him. I talked about this with Cameron Justice. Like, I understand culture-wise and doing right by Kevin Porter Jr., sending him to Houston to be with John Lucas. As a life coach and a coach with the Rockets, it hurts, and the growing public frustration of seeing Kevin Porter Jr. perform so well.
John Lucas, by the way, who was once the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers and got suspended and got the team fined when LeBron James practiced with the team when he was still in high school.
Yeah.
2002 was a wild time, pre-Twitter and all this stuff.
It really was. There's a lot of sports moments where I think, man, if social media was a thing, and thank God it didn't back then, but how overblown the stuff had been at the time. Like, Shaq breaking a backboard, been a monumental moment. Like, you never hear the end of it, but so it's just a lot of missteps. Yeah. Like, the KPJ thing, like, I'm conflicted on. Like, I understand why people are frustrated, because you watch him play really well for the Rockets, but there are contexts. Look at his stats and everything else, and you're seeing him get pretty much the majority of the touches with Houston, but he's playing well, so I understand the frustrations there. Not trading Andre Drummond, like, Chris, you and I have been saying this for the longest time. Like, we don't know what they're going to get for Andre Drummond. I know there's other folks who podcast about this team who talk about how the Cavs could realistically get a first round pick or other assets. Like, I laugh in their faces then, and I still do now, because I think, like, we're just being validated. Like, Andre Drummond is a net negative asset. Look at him performing at the Lakers. The only reason he's starting for them right now is because he's best friends with Anthony Davis, and Anthony Davis will eventually be the franchise player for the Lakers when LeBron either leaves or retires, because who knows, maybe LeBron's gonna play till he's 50 at this point. But I understand why Kobe's under a microscope. I'm working on a story for Forbes about this. I think it's an overreaction, and it's premature to fire him at this point, but I think you maybe need to shorten the leash a little bit, not say, hey, go make a win now move, like signing Jarrett Jack and Earl Clark and making moves like that where you have to offload assets to get rid of them the following year. I mean, granted, different circumstances, but at the same time, you need to start finding some stability and normalcy, because there's a lot of rot in the Cavaliers right now, and you got to carve a lot of that out before it festers and infects everything entirely.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Evan, let's take a break. Next time, we'll talk about why this matters and sort of one of the potential candidates that is out there for GM, and sort of why that sort of contributes to sort of the problem we're talking about here.
Yeah, but if Kobe gets fired, man, it's gonna suck, but he might need to tune up his car before he does that, and he should use our friends at Rock Auto in order to make that happen. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business, serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. So if you're interested, go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Check them out today at rockauto.com.
Okay, Evan, we're back. I think let's start here. One of the names that has been out there for a long time, if Kobe ever is moved on from, is Brock Oller.
Mm-hmm.
Rock Goller, if people don't know, was previously the Cavs' salary cap specialist. He now works for the New York Knicks. He was very close with Dan and had a good relationship with Dan. If you go back through Cleveland Cavaliers history, and particularly the Dan Gilbert era, a thing that happens is that you basically, like, he hires people that he already knows, or tries to hire bigger fish name people that he already knows that are out of the organization. But if he hires someone that he doesn't heat, when he misses out on the big fish, he hires someone internally. David Griffin replaced Chris Grant.
Kobe Altman replaced David Griffin.
He became tight with Danny Ferry, and that's probably when Danny Ferry gets the job. But like, Kobe Altman replaces Griff. Aller would be like technically like an outside hire who's gone and worked for another organization, but also like would be an inside hire. And I think, Evan, why this matters is ultimately, I think Jake Crawford put it really well when he was on with us, but I think to just put a pin in it right now in case people didn't hear that or whatever, like, I think ultimately, like, you can't ever turn over a new leaf fully and, like, change your process that has been the same process, even if the results are sort of different for so long, until you're willing to look yourself in the face as an owner, as the person making decisions, say, I got to step back at least a little bit and go outside of my bubble and hire and empower someone who's really, really smart, who's really, really good at this. I don't know, like, exactly who that is. Is there someone with the Raptors you could go get? Is there someone in the Heat organization you could get? Could you spend a bunch of money and bring a Mike Zarin from Boston, who's, like, one of the most well-regarded executives in the league? Like, there's a bunch of people you could go throw money at because you're Dan Gilbert. You're extremely rich. If you're willing to cede some of that control and let a basketball person do the basketball stuff, you manage the business stuff. They're very good at that stuff. I'd argue that's where they're one of the big six. They're very good at the business ops side of this. Dan and Nick Bartlidge and all these people are very, very good at that work. The other side of this is that, like, the basketball thing is just becomes like a cluster of weird decisions that they make, and it becomes like you're never willing to go outside of your bubble and get someone new to change the way you operate, to change the way you think. Keep some of the people that are working. If you want to keep Mike Garrity around because you believe in him, that is fine. If you want to keep, like, some assistants around, or keep, you know, Bernie Bickerstaff around as, like, a front office, like, executive that help you make decisions, like, that's not a bad thing to have. Have that institutional knowledge in-house. But, like, I think you need to do what the Bulls did, ultimately, and, like, say, look, like, Garpax doesn't work. We're going to go hire Arturis from Denver. You need to find your Arturis, I think, is really, like, I think if you're going to not be with Kobe. And we have a mailbag question that we got that we'll talk about later in the week about, like, why do people want to get Kobe fired? There's a case to fire him, and you already outlined it well, I think. But I think ultimately, like, the root of this is, like, it matters because it sets the tone for everything you do. And I think you're almost destined to repeat a lot of the same mistakes, even if they play out a little bit differently, when you're constantly sort of going through this cycle of never really looking outside your organization for that next executive decision maker.
Yeah, no, it's tough because I feel uncomfortable, I don't know, like, speculating on a man's job sometimes, but like you said, there is a track record and at least a resume to say why Kobe Altman could be fired and why it matters. You laid it out beautifully. But like you said, the Cavs take a lot of half steps when it comes to their front office and personnel decisions sometimes. Like, I am curious how some of the other folks in the organization landed where they did. Their analytics department, like, the guy who runs it is a really good guy. And I wonder what his relationship is with Dan or anything like that, or is that more of a Kobe position and things? Because Kobe claims at least to be an analytically sound person and someone who looks at the numbers and tries to take that raw data and apply it to his team and his team building process. But hiring Brock Aller, I know he's with the Knicks now, but like Chris said, he's been Dan Gilbert's right-hand man for about 15 years with the Cavs, and it's just a half step. You're sticking with what you know instead of what you don't. It's frustrating, I guess, man. Like you said, if the Cavs went out and did an outside hire, did like an actual, like, thorough executive search, like kind of like what Kobe was doing when it came to replacing Larry Drew as head coach, and then Dan sprung John Boeheim on him, and then the Cavs spun that story saying that this was 100% a whole organization commitment. We've heard otherwise since then, just from people talking to the media anonymously. But it's just a weird situation, man. But I don't know.
I mean, remember, Kobe Altman only became the GM because Chauncey Billups didn't want the job.
Yeah, well, was it money that Chauncey didn't want? Is that why?
I mean, I think it's, like, money, but also just, like there's, like, the location thing where he, like, wanted to make sure he was living near his family and could see his kid play, like, basketball in Denver. Like, that was, like, part of it.
He wanted the Phil Jackson concessions. Like, Phil Jackson, sorry, I saw Ryland Stiles' question for us, and I got a good chuckle out of it. But, I don't know, man. I think, like I said, I wouldn't necessarily jump the gun. You don't want to put the cart in front of the horse here and fire Kobe Altman right away, but maybe you put him on a shorter leash because there are things you can hold against him. People are going to point to the KPJ trade and the Kevin Love situation being the biggest ones, and like some people still think they could have gotten some for Andre Drummond or thinks they should have kept Andre Drummond instead of getting Jared Allen and making Jared Allen be his backup, which is, you know, a take, or I don't know. I think winning kind of cures all wounds and cures all issues for this team, and if they do get a first pick and land Cade Cunningham, I think there's going to be a lot more winning for this Cavs team. They're not necessarily going to be a playoff team. I think they will be back in the lottery no matter what, even if, like, let's say Jared Allen takes the qualifying offer and leaves next year. Like, that's going to impact the Cavs and probably going to change the trajectory of what they're doing in their rebuild. Or let's say Larry Nance can't stay healthy or Colin Sexton wants out. Like, there's a lot of variables and factors that could be in play that keeps Cleveland from really being a serious threat for the playoffs next year. But, yeah.
I've pulled up Brock Aller's LinkedIn page because this is the thing that exists. And his title for 9 years.
Out of your LinkedIn.
What do you mean? Am I locked out of my
locked LinkedIn? Out because he's gonna see you, they'll take your profile.
Oh yeah, I'm in incognito, bro. I'm not a chump.
Okay, just making sure.
His job, Brock Aller's job title for 9 years was ownership advisor for the Cleveland Cavaliers organization. Like, that is what this is. I am sorry. Like, I've never talked to him. Like, I doubt. Like, if he will probably do fewer press conferences than Kobe Altman if he gets the job. Can I just say this, and this is, like, completely selfish, and I'm willing to admit this, I would be more sympathetic to Kobe Altman if I just knew what the hell he thought about anything.
Yeah.
I got a cackle when the only interview he's done in recent months was, with no offense to this college kid, I'm sure, like, this was a thrill for him, but he did a vanilla-ass interview with the Middlebury student newspaper. Like, come on, Kobe. Really?
Sorry. Like, I'm not to cut you off, but Reggie Bullock Jr. also has a LinkedIn profile. It just says NBA basketball player at the New York Knicks, and then shooting guard, small forward for the Pistons and Clippers, and then NBA player for the Lakers. Sorry, go ahead. It just makes me laugh.
No, it's just, again, like, this is just something where I think, like I've had this, I keep having this conversation with different people, and it's like, ultimately, I understand why, like, we're not going to get full access, blah, 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 blah. I think, like, the ideal reality that if we could live in, if the quote-unquote media and, like, the people that we're covering can actually just interact and then, like, inform the public in a more authentic way, that's better for everyone. And I would be a more... Mm-hmm. If I had a read on if Kobe Altman, like, acted like an actual human instead of sending out, like, fake-sounding press quotes in press releases, this would be a completely different thing. This is just, like, one of those things I find incredibly silly. But this... Again, all of this matters because, like, your decision-making process becomes, like, in terms of, like, hiring, in terms of, like, the firing, in terms of how you react to firing someone, it repeats the same cycle over again, and you need to break the cycle if you're going to keep doing this.
No, I absolutely agree, and I think maybe we need to talk about how covering the team went this year, because one of the big things is Chris and I don't think there's going to be exit interviews for the Cavs, and that's just odd.
Well, we're very sure of that. We're very sure at this point.
But yeah. Chris, if you were a betting man, what are the odds you think Kobe Altman makes a media appearance between now and next, by the draft? We'll say that.
I feel like he's got to do one after the draft lottery.
Okay, that's fair. But do you think those odds
are... if he doesn't, you know what I'll be doing that day?
What?
Tweeting about it.
Tweeting about it, or you could go see if those odds are available at our friends at BetOnline.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC/MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDON, by the way, and it's BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Again, promo code LOCKEDON for that 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Okay, Evan, so... How did you feel like covering the team this year? You and I are both completely virtual. We never went to a single game, which was a health choice more than anything else.
Yeah, for those listening, I know people are going to scream that this is a fake virus. We have quite a few listeners. I know masks still aren't a thing, but I'm choosing to wear one still because I have a pre-existing condition, and my girlfriend has a pre-existing condition, and my parents are vaccinated now, but before they were. They're in their late 50s, early 60s, and they're right in that sweet spot where they could die from this. And my dad has some respiratory problems as well, just from old age and everything else too. So like, there's a lot of concerns here. So I chose not to go to the game. There's also other factors as well. Like, the Cavs had limited media availability to begin with, and a lot of it went up to local media. So like, the Kelsey Russos, the Chris Fedors, Joe Gabriel, others like that.
Joe Gabriel is a team employee.
I know, but he's just an Angel Gray. Like, those two do technically qualify for the head count, because I've asked. And then like, you have beat reporters who do travel with the team. A lot of them didn't. Chris Fedor being the exception. He traveled for every single road trip with the Cavs, which is, you know, still fascinating in the global pandemic. But yeah, Chris and I are totally virtual on this, and I didn't mind it. It just, you just lose out on the ability to have those one-off conversations when the mics aren't hot and the cameras aren't on with players or coaches or executives who happen to be floating around. Or for me, I talk to a lot of scouts during games too. Like, if they happen to be sitting there, especially like the Heat and the Spurs, they always had like dedicated folks coming to Cavs games to scout them when Cleveland was coming up on their schedule. Like, you learn a lot about how basketball teams operate to going to these in-person events, and that was taken away. But at the same time, I understand why. It's for the greater good. Maybe Chris and I will be back next year that we're both fully vaxxed up, but we'll see what the future holds.
Yeah, I think it depends. Like, I think ultimately, like, I think sometimes it gets lost. Maybe people don't know that you and I both also like work full-time jobs and like have other responsibilities. Yeah. Where like love Locked On, love working with the folks at WKYC. Like this does not provide my health insurance, and unless I get a career that it does, like, this sort of other stuff is going to take precedence. Like, that's just the reality of it. I think this year has been the Cavs are not like the most like media friendly organization in the league as it is. Like, I think a lot of the individual media folks are
depending good on who people. You are, they're friendly.
Well, I've had like good interactions with like basically all of them over time.
Yeah, I have had too.
But
for those who don't know, like Alyssa Dombrowski, give her a shout out. She's awesome.
I do think what JB did to surprise her with her parents was very cool. Yeah, by the way,
super cool, super sweet. Her last season with the Cavs of the season, she's with Wasserman now. That's a blow for the Cavs. Like, that stinks. And they have a great team. Like, all the folks that we have gotten to know that work with the team, like even media or social media folk too, like, they're super awesome as well. But like, as a whole, sometimes the Cavs can be a little frustrating to work with if you are a member of the media reporting on them.
Yeah, and look, I think more access is always good. I think trying to arrange some one-on-ones, like, you're just never going to get them in my ass. Like, you're just not going to get that stuff. I'm hoping you can get some maybe with, like, folks outside of the normal parameters this offseason, even if that gets an annoyed email to me. Like, it is what it is. The funniest thing that happened this year is that we both got blocked by Chris Fedor.
Yeah, I think I have. I know what I did, but Eve, I think you were just a casualty of being associated with me.
Look, like, we reached out to someone the person who hired him at Advanced Local, and we're like, we just want to know what the F is going on here. Like, he's never talked to me in life. He's always sort of acted like he owns the fucking room when he's at a media event.
And he definitely acts like he owns the room. I'm not gonna dig up my hatchet entirely, but Chris is a little frustrating. Not Manning.
I am frustrated. I mean, I think I'm a media access person. I understand why, like, the world we live in sometimes, where, like, if athletes don't want to deal with some of this. And, like, I am even more sympathetic to, like, the Kyrie argument sometimes, that, like, this is, like, a product, like, an art product sometimes. Like, it is sometimes just, like, reactionary. Maybe not all of it, but, like, the on-court stuff often can be just, like, sort of, like, not super planned out. That's why, like, the questions post game about like how did you do this, it's like, you're never gonna get, like, there, it's just sort of like instinct, right? Like, it is sort of like them just putting all the work they've put in everywhere else onto the court.
It's also funny because in the off chances, because also Chris and I are considered national media, so local media always takes a priority in these press conference sessions as well, and it's understandable. So this is their day-to-day job for, like, Chris Fedor and Kelsey Russo and number one Cavs beat reporter Ashley Bastock. But like, when Chris gets to break through and Chris asks like a real basketball question, the tone from like JB or one of the players changes significantly compared to like these, like, oh, how does this make you feel? Or how did you feel passing this franchise legend or doing this, having this scoring feat or record. Like, I don't know. It's just like sometimes it's the quality of the questions too. And just, I don't know, maybe people are becoming a little jaded and are aware of the fact of like where the Cavs stand in like the Cleveland sports pecking order. But it's weird, man.
Like, I just... Well, okay, what do you mean? Describe, elaborate more on this tone question, because sometimes I just don't really pay attention to tone, because I just understand, like, we're catching them at weird times.
It's just like that one time, like, you asked JB, I believe, utilizing, like, Kevin in those double drag sets that you're talking about and things like that. Like, sometimes, like, JB gives really good answers and they're really thought out, but sometimes it just feels like generic coach talk when he's talking, and then, like, he actually breaks down, like, the X's and O's with you a little bit, and that limited availability, like, it's just a difference in tone, I guess, because you come in with an actual, like, basketball question. I'm not trying to gatekeep the coverage of this team, mind you, but sometimes, like, my eyes would glaze over, too, if I could ask, like, how do you feel about this when there's not really much else to talk about in a team that won 20-ish games, 22 games this year.
So, yeah, that's very kind of you. I just, like, I ultimately think they're very interesting people who do an interesting job, and I just, like, want to understand that job and how it works, and, like, I think it is interesting, and I would like to communicate that it is interesting, and, like, sometimes if you do something stupid, like, you're right about it, we'll talk about it, that is what it is, like, you're a public figure, it is what it is, but, like, I think empathetic coverage that is, or at least attempting to be empathetic that is, like, thoughtful is, like, much better off. And, like, look, I understand, like, even we see this, I think, with podcast stuff, we see this with, like, writing stuff, if you're the sort, like, the views and the click-throughs and things on, like, stuff ultimately can, that is, like, transactional or, like, drama is ultimately cut. Someone should clip me saying drama out, because, like, that is just the most dumb thing I've ever seen on the show.
I'm sure Bird Guy Joe will have the audio clip ready for you at like 7 a.m. tomorrow, buddy. Don't worry.
Thanks, King Joe. But like I think like that coverage ultimately, like the coverage that is that I'm sort of most interested in, ultimately all doesn't always like click. Mm-hmm. But like I'm also like it. I'm almost 20 and I finally hit a place where I'm mentally not like that's fine. Like I'm good with that. You know, yeah. Like that ultimately, like I think that's okay. But it's also just, like, I don't think that it's harder and harder to find, like, lanes for those coverage in a lot of ways. And I think, like, when you have a team that is not super interested in, like, actually being covered, and, like, when you put up your hand at the one press conference the GM has because you want to ask, like, because, like, it is still, Evan, it blows my mind to this day that, like, the Kevin Porter Jr. stuff was just, like, that's the one time he spoke and, like, no one asked about KPJ. Like, the people that got called on in that Zoom, just, like, no one asked about it. Like, ask about it.
Well,
like
Joe Vardy tried to ask about JB about it, and it kind of was just played down.
Okay, but you have to try. You have, like, these, especially when you get Kobe the one time, you have to try. And, like, I just think, like, when you have a team that isn't even covered, it sometimes can just be very frustrating. Ultimately, like, it is what it is. And, again, I just also think, like, when you get people that are actually, like, invested in the beat and are I look at, like, what James Edwards does for The Athletic in Detroit. And I'm, like, blown away by that. I'm blown away by the features he pulls out, because that is what happens when you get a beat reporter. And I'm not even saying that, like, I would do this, because I think he's much better than I am. But I think you look at what happens when you get someone that has, like, even if the organization ultimately probably has a lot of the same, like, walls up, because that's how a lot of these teams work. Mm-hmm. And, like, the NBA is less open of league to media than, like, the WNBA by comparison. Like, I think you look at that and you can just say, hey, like, this is what happens when you're putting in the work. You're being empathetic. You're not just doing the kind of like beat reporting, like fake gossip stuff that like and water carrying and whatever, like you're actually like investigating this as like a thing that interacts with the community. And that's just like such a more interesting way to think about the basketball. Like I will do the breakdown stuff. I will do that stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. I've done it. That was what the notebooks were at the end of the season. I'll probably do next year and whatnot. But like, I just like look at, that. And it's just like, I think like this, the covering the team just becomes this very like every single year for some reason. It's sometimes just because I'm working a lot and everything, but like I'm always a little happy when it's like done because I get a chance to just sort of recharge. And some of that is on me for sure, but some of that is also just like I don't think this is a situation that is particularly like invested in having itself engaged with.
I should call you Nostradamus because I feel the same way. Because for those of you who are regular listeners, you already know this, but if this is your first time checking out the show, welcome. We're a lot more chipper some days, I promise. But Chris and I first met, I believe it was one of the first things we talked about, or one of the first few things we talked about. I just said, like, yeah, I'm really excited to be covering the Cavs. They're, like, one of my favorite teams. And Chris just kind of laughed to himself and said, that'll change soon. And then, lo and behold, 3 years later, he's right. I'm burnt out. And for those who follow me on social or listen to the show again, I will be taking a little break at the end of the month. I'm going to be kind of piecing out of social. I'm kind of unplugging myself just from unnecessary distractions because the general discourse and day-to-day stuff, yes, I know I stoked the flames. I apologize for saying Colin Sexton or making people believe that I think Colin Sexton is a bad player. I just don't think he's worth the max contract, and we can talk about team semantics, but people have made it so personal and so draining and so tiring that I'm just going to pull myself out for a little bit and just chill. Read a book, go a few runs, make some food that makes me happy, just do whatever. I don't know.
Evan, let's wrap up on this. Just let's give a book recommendation. So, wants to read a good book while they're not watching as much basketball right now.
I'm starting Cherry. The movie the Russo brothers filmed in Cleveland with Tom Holland, and I think it proves the point that the Russo brothers may not have a film background if it's not Marvel related. But I'm checking that out. I'm like a few chapters in. That's pretty good. So I give that recommendation. You guys can tease me all you want, but I'm reading Twilight. My girlfriend was born dyslexic, and she couldn't read books as a kid. And the first book that she could read that was a chapter book was Twilight when she was growing up, like by herself without any assistance, so it means a lot to her. So I'm reading that as well. So I recommend those two. Find a book that makes you happy is all I say. Do you have any recs?
Yeah, I will do three things here. Number one, the Stan Lee biography, whose name I'm forgetting right now, from Abraham Riesman from Late of Vulture is excellent. It really engages with Stan Lee in a very interesting way. Number two, Normal People.
Wait, the biography about Stan Lee and about how, like, he's kind of propped up as a mascot?
Yep.
I wanted to check that out. I thought about buying it at the bookstore over the weekend.
After we get off this, I will tell you something that I think is very funny. I'm like into like the Marvel era in the book, and I'm just like, oh, this guy is nuts.
Yeah, I've kind of learned like Stanley's kind of a piece of shit.
It's also like very sad, and it's also like very sad in some ways. But like just look up his brother, and it like will blow your mind. Number two, Normal People by Sally Rooney. I just finished that book for the second time, and the show is obviously great as well. But that's like the best novel I've read in a long, long time. And then comics, let's do a comic. Any of the X-Men books right now are very good. Deadly Class is an interesting read if you want to go back and pick up one. I think if you like the Invincible Amazon show, go get the comic.
Chris also recommends The Batman Who Laughs.
that's a lie. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. But I love books. I love reading. I found that, like, something my therapist told me for a while. I was like, just read when you like otherwise might be scrolling social, and don't do that.
Idle hands are the devil's playthings, folks. Put something productive in them at times.
Things that are also about books, but also Catholic priests say to keep you from being gross as a teenager.
There we go. Way to bring the tone down. But thanks for listening, everyone. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow with a mailbag show. We'll be back on WKYC this week later as well. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Thanks to BetOnline and Rock Auto for sponsoring the show. Please check out the show notes below if you want information on how to support them and all of our great sponsors. And until next time, this has been Locked On Cavs. Cheers, y'all.
Get all the sports news you need in another 20 minutes of the Locked On Today podcast. Host Pete Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.